to Lineup Logic, the MLB DFS podcast, bringing you lineup construction ideas for the MLB DFS slate to come on FanDuel. I'm your loyal host, Sean Kane, here, breaking down every slate that we have on FanDuel. It is Wednesday, April 25th, and in the next hour, we will preview the slate to come in Major League Baseball, talk matchups, spreads, weather conditions, the whole nine. And then we will break down players to target on the slate upcoming. I've brought on my man, Joe Metz from Fan Forecast. He's my Wednesday contributor, Wednesday host. If you aren't already following Fan Forecast on Twitter, get over there, follow them at Fan Forecast, the blog, breaking down DFS on a daily basis over there, doing absolutely excellent DFS work that is all free. None of it is premium. This is, you know, just a sports junkies, DFS degenerates putting their takes out there, and they were freaking hot last night. Had offered up six different stack ideas, I believe, that all hit multi-run games, including Minnesota, Arizona, obviously Coors. And what a crazy night it was last night in Major League Baseball. You know, we had three or four canceled games, if I remember correctly. I think it was three canceled. We had Boston postponed. We had my Philadelphia postponed. The Mets game postponed. A delay in Coors. Ultimately, Coors goes, and 27 runs happened there. The Tigers hit 19 runs last night. Craziness in MLB DFS. Before we jump into the Wednesday night slate, let's take a look back at what happened last night. One of these nights. Not a bad night. I mean, honestly, I was feeling really good. I had four lines out there. Not one of them went below 130. I felt really good going into the end of the night, and sure enough, Coors blows up, the Diamondbacks blow up, and I was not too overweight on those games. I had a lot of Minnesota. I had a lot of Minnesota, to be honest with you. The cash line, I played a little bit of cash last night, did well, but cash lines were really high, to be honest with you. Cash lines above 150 last night, and we talked a little bit about we talked about stacking Minnesota. We talked about stacking, some of these Arizona bats as well as some of these Seattle bats. And it worked out. One of the lines that I ran out had a Kershaw with a Minnesota stack of Dozier, Sano, Polanco. That was really nice. And then for some salary relief, I stacked some of the guys in Seattle. Mike Zunino, Vogelbach became a really cheap option in the middle of that lineup. Guillermo Heredia actually was also cheap, and he did pretty well for his salary relief. Got some salary relief in that respect. Hit 151 with Kershaw at the top there at the end of the night, but really a challenging build last night, and cash lines were really high. I was pretty pleased with, the performance from Kyle Hendricks, not going to lie. I thought Kyle Hendricks gave us a really nice outing. He was super duper low owned. He pitched six scoreless innings, got the quality start and the win. Unfortunately, the strikeouts just weren't there, and that was the kind of part that really hurt us. The guy still has amazing stuff, and that's what I was looking at. The quality of the pitcher in that spot was absolutely worth it at that price and that ownership level. Just didn't have a lot of strikeout upside in Pittsburgh, and that was the kind of the thing that I overlooked, and I was a little bit disappointed in that. I felt like we had exposure to Milwaukee with Thames and Pena and Travis Shaw. They were all in really good spot. Just a tough night. If you didn't own a lot of shares of Coors, you were in a tough spot. If you didn't own a lot of shares of Diamondbacks, you were in a tough spot. Or Tigers, you were in a tough spot. But of course, Seattle coming through strong, Minnesota coming through strong. So I thought our analysis was good. I mean, you don't have one line under 130 points, and clearly you're doing something right. You just miss a little bit of that upside on a massive scoring night. You know, you got to have that upside, really. You got to have a little bit more upside than that when you have, let me look at this. You got a 28-run game in Detroit, a 10-run game in Milwaukee, a 9-run game in Texas, a 15-run game in Chicago, 11 runs in St. Louis, 27 runs in Coors, 12 runs in Arizona. You know, I mean, those are massive offensive games. The offense is really, really blowing up recently. So we're going to try to figure out where we're going to go with this tonight, try and target some of this upside. It's not a very easy build tonight. Batters are priced up. You're going to have to really, really find some spots to save, and we may have to wait for some lineups to come out and find some of these cheap leadoff batters and punt a little bit in a couple spaces. But we've got some offenses to target. There's some really nice arms on this slate as well. So let's jump into tonight. All right, there is an all-day slate. If you've got three games on the all-day slate, but we're only talking main slate. And the first game on the main slate is the Cubs at the Pirates. Still in PNC here. 8 runs projected here. Cubs are favored as John Lester takes on Tyler Glasnow. You know, I like Lester in this spot. I really do think he's in a good position. Of course, there's just not a lot of strikeout upside in the Pirates, as we talked about. There's not a lot of offensive upside, but there's not a lot of strikeout upside. So, you know, Lester is definitely in a good position. I think the difficulty is at 10-5, you're comparing him to a guy like Noah Syndergaard, and there's just no reason to play Lester over Syndergaard tonight except for ownership leverage. Tampa Bay at Baltimore, 8 runs projected in Camden Yard. Should be a nice night there. No rain projected in this one. Alex Cobb going against Dylan Bundy, 2 righties. Dylan Bundy seems to be at the top of a lot of the industry stuff here. People are interested in Dylan Bundy for sure. I think similarly, I'm interested in the Orioles bats, who are heavy favorites against Alex Cobb, who just has been kind of getting hit this year, and the Orioles playing pretty well, not putting up as much offense as we would like, but I think we can still look at the Orioles bats in this situation against a subpar pitcher in Alex Cobb. Miami at Philadelphia, nice weather again in this one. You know, should get some relief from the rain. 7.5 runs projected here. Weihan Chen and Vinny Velasquez. You know, this is a pick'em. This is an interesting game, and I'll talk about it with Joe. I think this game could very easily go to the arms, or this game could very easily go to the bats. Both of these pitchers kind of hard to predict, to be honest with you, but definitely have some upside. But so do these bats in these situations. So it should be an interesting one. I think it's GPP viable. Atlanta at New York, 6.5 runs projected in this one. The Mets heavy favorites with Syndergaard on the hill. Against kind of an Atlanta offense that in some spots looks really good and in other spots just not that great. And I think against Noah Syndergaard, we're going to see that they're just not that great. Seattle at Detroit, I don't think we can expect 27 runs in this one, especially when you've got James Paxton on the hill for the Mariners, who's been pitching really, really well by the numbers on paper. He got hit last time out against the A's. We talked a lot about him. He did get hit, still an option, definitely, just given his stuff recently that has been excellent. And Vegas prefers Paxton in the Mariners, even though they're looking at injury now to Mitch Haniger, who left yesterday with a strained oblique. You know, Gene Segura back in the lineup, batting leadoff, was really, really had a nice day. So we'll wait to see what the Seattle lineup looks like. I'm interested in getting some Seattle shares against Daniel Norris, who's just not that good. The Yankees at the Red Sox, more rain projected in this one. Again, 25% chance of rain throughout pretty much the whole game. Only 7.5 runs projected here. It's pretty much a pick 'em with Severino and Porcello on the hill, 2 righties who have shown some excellent outings this year, but Porcello also getting hit. He's getting hit this year. You know, I don't necessarily know how much I like this game, but at the same time, I could see some bats exploding in this spot. You know, Severino is definitely due for some regression, and there are some righty mashers. There are some righty mashers in Benintendi and Mitch Moreland. I think in Fenway Park, you could see the Red Sox do some good work. Minnesota at Texas, 9 runs projected in this one. Another high projection on this slate. Hector Santiago going up against Cole Hamels, and the Rangers favored with Hamels on the hill almost by a run. I like the Texas bats, even though they've been cold here. Hector Santiago due for some regression. He's pitched well, but it just, the numbers on paper just don't say that he could keep it up. And I gotta think that Texas gets it going on a night where the wind is blowing straight out at center at 16 miles per hour, in Globe Life. So you gotta like that a lot. Toronto at St. Louis. This one is a possible rainout, which is a bummer because you like the Cards a lot here. They are heavy favorites, with Carmo on the mound. He is pitching great against a cold, cold Toronto lineup. They got it going a little bit last night, but I just don't think against Carlos Martinez, a high strikeout pitcher in this spot, that they're going to necessarily be able to keep it going. 8 runs projected, and Matt Latos taking the hill for Toronto, which put a target on his back. That man cannot pitch at the major league level, and would love, love, love if this game goes to stack the Cardinals, but we don't know. And then we got Coors. Coors, of course, Nationals at Rockies. I don't think we can expect 27 runs, but I just don't think we're going to see another low-scoring outing here. Tanner Roark and Tyler Chatwood, you know, obviously better arms than what we saw last night. But not great arms. Neither of these guys are blowing the doors off anywhere, and these bats are just way too hot to fade. I mean, guys like Charlie Blackmon have, you know, just been destroying people. Trey Turner hits for the cycle last night. If you can find a pitcher that is in the 6K range that you want to roster, or you want to punt your pitcher and just say, I'll take what I can get, and then get a Coors stack in there, don't mind it. Don't mind it at all. It's a hard build because these bats are expensive. You know, it's not impossible. The Colorado bats are not overpriced, but it is not an easy build either. San Diego at Arizona. Arizona red hot right now. Kind of expect that to continue. Vegas has them as a favorite in a 10-run game. Trevor Cahill going up against a spot start for Zachary Godley, AAA pitcher. Not a lot of numbers on Godley, but seems to be a ground ball pitcher. And the Diamondbacks just are too hot to fade right now. Cahill on paper has been excellent, but he's also due for some regression. He's not a career pitcher that is that good. And I think we can look back at the Diamondbacks to get under Cahill tonight. The A's at the Angels, 8 runs projected here. Sean Manaea and Matt Shoemaker. The series has been pretty underwhelming, especially from a fantasy perspective. And it should be again tonight with two, you know, halfway decent starters who are, you know, kind of facing off in a situation that doesn't necessarily seem like fantasy gold. So not too much interested in this game. Too much interest in this game, but Vegas likes the Angels in this spot. And then we've got the Dodgers and the Giants, probably one of the worst series for viewing. just been brutal. 3 runs only last night in AT&T, only 7 runs projected. Alex Wood going up against Johnny Cueto. And this is pretty much a pick'em at this point, which is interesting to me because Cueto is clearly the better pitcher, but I guess that they're just saying, they're just expecting that, they're expecting that the Dodgers can hit Cueto better than the Giants can hit Wood, which I guess makes sense because no one on either side of the ball is really hitting, that well. You know, this game, Vegas at 7 runs is a, yikes. I mean, you have 6.5 and 7 7 runs projected in only 2 spots here, and that's the Dodgers game and the Mets game. So those are the pitcher spots we want to target. Of course, for bats, we're looking at Chase and we're looking at Coors. You got to. Let's not waste too much more time. Let's jump into the player breakdown. I got my man Joe Metz from Fan Forecast here. We're going to talk pitchers. We're going to talk bats. We're going to talk cores. We'll break it all down for you guys. We'll try to build a little bit of a lineup here, a starting place as you go into the afternoon to try and build some lines for tonight's DFS slate. Who do you love? All right, we're going to jump into the player breakdown now, and because we are talking Wednesday slate, of course, I have my man Joe Metz on here from Fantasy Forecast. Joe, how we doing, sir?
Doing well. Just excited for this Coors slate tonight.
Oh, man. And the best part about these Coors slates, it's been you get an offense like the Nationals in there who are hitting anybody, and they're viable in fantasy baseball every single night. But when they're in Coors this early in the season, it's pretty exciting to have them out there.
I mean, that game had 27 total runs yesterday. That's just insane.
Dude, the offense in the last couple days has been bananas.
Yeah, like there were, I want to say, 5 or 6 teams putting up at least 8 or 9 runs last night. It was ridiculous. I mean, that's why cash lines have been so high.
Yep, they have. And, you know, it makes it a lot of fun. Because you can have shares of a lot of different teams who were doing the same thing. You know, you had Arizona go for 9 runs, I think it was. You had Minnesota get up there with 8 runs. Seattle and Detroit was crazy. There was almost, I mean, Detroit scored 19 runs. That's bananas. That was like a football score. It was like 19. Yeah.
That made me think of, what was it, a couple of years ago, maybe 5, 6 years ago, the Rangers won a game like 30-3 or something like that. That's the last time I had many runs in a game.
It's not this year because the Rangers. Oh, no. I think the Rangers got blanked last night. They look a little lost.
Yeah, a little is an understatement. My God.
And that's not a bad lineup, but I guess they really need Beltre, you know, to kind of just get the wheels turning. You know, that consistent everyday guy who's going to give them something in the middle of the lineup to keep everybody moving through the order. But anyway, hey, the Rangers are back, and you know, once again, they're kind of in a good spot. So let's jump into this player breakdown. We are going to talk pitchers, and then we're going to talk bats. And before we talk bats, Joe and I are each going to break down one side of the Coors situation because, you know, we got to talk about Coors here. You have to talk about it anytime that it's on the slate. But we got 4 different pitchers to talk through today, and at the top of the slate, Joe, it's pretty obvious. We got to talk about Thor. Syndergaard is 11.5, which actually is a pretty nice price for a stud like Noah Syndergaard, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, given that Kershaw is over 13 and we've seen Bum flirt with 12K, I mean, I'll take that strikeout upside and just dominance for a bit of a discount.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, 11-5, he's at home. He's got Atlanta. You know, Atlanta doesn't necessarily scare me. He's got a 23% K rate. That matches where Atlanta's striking out right now, about 22% plus. He's got a whip below 1.86. He's got a 36% K rate against left-handed bats, which I really like because the only bat in the lineup for the Braves that really scares you is Freddie Freeman, and he's a lefty. And Syndergaard smokes lefties, so no problem with that. That's nice to have that leverage in that situation. There's not a ton of righties in this lineup that really scare me. Atlanta has an OPS of only 658 in the last 14 days with a 317 wOBA. Not wow numbers, really nothing special at all. They're just not showing a ton of offense. And Thor, only allowing 27% hard contact with a 57% ground ball rate, pitching in Citi Field, which is a great pitcher's park. We know that. Wind blowing in. You know, I mean, what else do you want? This everything lines up for a good 50 burger from Noah Syndergaard tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely see him being the chalkiest cash on the slate, and like you said, for good reason. I mean, he's got it all going for him tonight.
Yeah, no question. All right, there's now the other thing, though, that we have to talk about. There's a bunch of guys in this 9K range. So, Joe, start us off here. What do you who are you looking at?
If I pivot off of Thor and Cash, right now my favorite target's Carlos Martinez of the Cardinals. He gets to host Toronto. Toronto gets a bit of a park downgrade compared to the Rogers Center. And Carlos Martinez has definitely been pretty disappointing this year. Only been able to go past 5.1 innings once. But in those 22.2 innings pitched, he struck out 31. Does have a career 0.63 home run per nine, and his current 3.3 Sierra definitely suggests that he should be experiencing some pretty positive regression coming his way pretty soon. Still has a 13.3% swinging strike rate and 12.31 K per nine. I mean, those numbers are flat out dominant. He's had a couple control issues. He walked eight Yankees two starts ago, which is obviously not ideal. Runs the pitch count up. But in every other game, he walked two against Milwaukee, one against Cincinnati, didn't walk a single Cub on opening day. So I'm going to write that start off as an outlier. I mean, he also struck out 11 in that. So in this game, he gets to face the Blue Jays, who, even though they scored six runs last night, they're definitely scuffling. They're without Josh Donaldson and Troy Tulowitzki. And your Joey Bats, or actually that's my Joey Bats, excuse me. He's still batting well below the Mendoza line. I mean, he's struggling to crack 200. He had the same struggles last year, so he's definitely regressing with age. So there's really no threat in this lineup. They're currently 29th overall in WOBA at a 282 WOBA, 25th in team ISO at 123, and they're also 5th overall in strikeout rate at 24.3%. And with Carlos Martinez's 12.31 K per nine this season, I mean, that's going to go way up tonight, and I just don't see a significant threat in this lineup. I mean, Russell Martin, Ryan Goins, like these players just don't scare me.
No, I there's not a lot. I mean, there probably will be a time this season where we're going to say, hey, you don't want to attack Toronto right now.
Yeah.
You know, but when they're banged up like this, when they're not healthy, when they're, you know, I don't see it. I mean, they are swinging hard. They are not hitting the ball. And, you know, Carmo seems to have his stuff. He had a rough outing in Milwaukee. But, I mean, everybody's had rough outings in Milwaukee. I mean, who hasn't?
Yeah. Milwaukee's definitely not a team to attack anymore.
No. I mean, the strike rate, you know, the strikeout rate is so appealing. But this is not a team that you can play with. Whereas Toronto has a very similar strikeout rate, and you can definitely attack them. So I have no problem with Carlos Martinez tonight. I think if I'm going to the 9K, I'm looking at Johnny Cueto. I think he'll probably go under-owned here in this situation. 9.5 is kind of a high price to pay, but, you know, I mean, Cueto's looking pretty solid this year, like himself. 3.6 Sierra, 22% K rate. You know, that was his last year number. It's similar this year. The Dodgers are up to a 25% K rate right now against right-handed pitching. You know, they're swinging the bats. I mean, they are definitely swinging the bats, and you know, he's only allowed a 685 OPS, 733 versus, they're 733 versus right-handed pitching. You know, I think Johnny Cueto is the kind of guy who has massive K upside, especially in this pitcher's park, if he can get cooking. You know, Vegas doesn't like him for some reason. I'm not really sure why. It's almost a pick 'em at this point, but the Dodgers have a little bit of an edge, and that maybe is just because the San Francisco bats have been so bad lately. I just Jock Peterson is banged up. He's not in the lineup. It's pretty much just Corey Seager. And, you know, is Corey Seager going to go yard at AT&T? I don't think he is. I mean, you know, Adrian Gonzalez just isn't there right now. Justin Turner seems to be out of rhythm. So I have no problem with Johnny Cueto, who's got great numbers. You know, very solid, and actually has decent PVB to back it up as well. Decent history against the Dodgers.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely like that play. And you said it's basically a pick 'em in Vegas right now, and I don't see why you wouldn't pick San Francisco. I mean, Alex Wood is not the most intimidating matchup, and the Giants hit lefty, so you got to think he's got a good chance of getting the extra 6 points on FanDuel for the W as well. So I love that play. Personally,
yeah, that series has been ugly.
Yeah, it's been hideous.
Oh my gosh!
I mean, you had to predict like a 2-1 game in a Kershaw start yesterday, but the whole it has not been the most entertaining or appealing, especially for a fantasy player.
No, not at all. But
I definitely like Cueto in GPPs. I even see the cash appeal. I do. Personally, if I'm looking at tournaments, I love James Paxton tonight. I can see his ownership being a little high just because of how dominant he's been this year. But because of the Tigers' 19-run explosion that came out of absolutely nowhere yesterday, I definitely see a possibility of depressed ownership, which is pretty appealing. Through 2017 so far, Paxton's posted a 10.6 K per nine, a sub-1 whip, a 2.67 Sierra, which is incredible. He's holding opponents to a 183 batting average and only 28.5% hard contact, and he hasn't given up a single home run yet, which is extremely impressive through just under 30 innings pitched. I mean, he's been flat-out dominant. He had one rough start against Oakland, of all teams, last start. And Oakland, a lot like Milwaukee, hasn't been a team you can pick on as much as you thought this year. But other than that, he's struck out 5, 8, 9, and 8 in his four starts. Those five earned runs last start against Oakland were actually his first earned runs given up all year. But like I said, he hasn't given up a single home run. Detroit is without Miguel Cabrera. And while they're 334 WOBA and 198 ISO might scare people away, and I definitely think a lot of that is because of last night. I don't think those numbers were that high before that. I can still see Paxton dazzling tonight, regardless of how many right-handed batters the Tigers throw out there.
Yeah. God, that makes me so nervous.
That's why it's a GPP play, though.
Yeah, it is GPP play. I just think, I mean, Detroit, I tweeted this out last night. Listen to this. They have scored, I think it's 39 runs in the last three games. They are clicking right now. They've had a 19 run, a 12 run, and then they had five on Saturday or Sunday. I love Paxton's stuff. I get scared off, you know. What did you think of that start that he put up against Oakland, Joe?
I mean, he definitely struggled. He gave up 9 hits, 4.1 innings. His control was still there. He only walked one. He still struck out 8, so he's still throwing around the strike zone. Oakland's just got some lefty mashers in that lineup. I mean, they got Ryan Healy, they got Chris Davis.
Yeah.
And that's another reason why Detroit does scare me a bit, because they have so many right-handed bats. I mean, I'm trying to think of their lineup right now, and I can only think of one or two lefties. They'll throw James McCann at catcher, who has incredible splits against lefties.
Yeah.
So it's definitely not an ideal matchup, and I definitely recognize that. But his raw upside, in my opinion, is perfect for a tournament.
Yeah, and you're going to get leverage. I mean, there's tons of leverage there because people are scared of it. Just like you said, you know, it's that perceived bad matchup thing that you try to take advantage of in tournaments. And you have a pitcher who can throw gas. You have a team that wants to hit the lefty. You know, and, you know, there's strikeout upside in that. You know, if he can find a rhythm and pound the zone, and I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. It's a high risk, high reward type situation.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Let me ask you a couple questions here, some lingering questions for me about this slate as far as pitchers go. The one guy that's on my radar that's been, you know, popping up across the industry. I'm going to give you two guys, and I want your takes on them.
Okay.
Dylan Bundy and Vinny Velasquez.
Okay. I've been looking at Dylan Bundy a lot, and he has definitely been on my radar too. I like him. I mean, his strikeout numbers haven't been ideal, but he gets Tampa Bay tonight, and everyone knows that they whiff so much.
Yep.
They've got some power upside, but I think a win is I'm not going to say easy to come by tonight, but you know how the Orioles offense can get.
Oh, yeah.
So I definitely like, obviously not in cash for me. I do like Dylan Bundy a lot. Velasquez, on the other hand, scares me a bit. I mean, he's had a lot of control issues this year. But then again, it's Miami. Like, they've got three bats that intimidate me. But these all, you got Christian Yelich, Giancarlo, and Marcelo Zuna. They all swing so hard and strike out a ton. So, I mean, while these bats are intimidating, I mean, there's a lot of strikeout potential in that lineup. And, I mean, JT Realmuto is not playing to the level nearly of what he was opening week.
Yeah, I was going to say. I mean, yeah, Miami's offense against right-handed pitching, pretty average in the last month, to be honest with you. But, I mean, it doesn't take long in Citizens Bank Park to start clicking and, like, send a few balls over the wall. You're absolutely right. And Vinny could get lit up in this one. I mean, that game to me feels sneaky. There are neither pitcher really scares me. You got a small ballpark. It's going to go under-owned. I feel like Minnesota, Philadelphia could be a really good spot.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a, I think it'd be an under-owned spot as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't see a lot of people, especially I know you'll hit on the bats a bit later, that's definitely a stack and pitchers that I would definitely deploy in a tournament to gain some ownership leverage.
Yeah, it could definitely go. I mean, I don't know what to expect from that game either. And Vegas has it almost. I think Vegas has it almost as a pick 'em as well. Let me see the line right now. I mean, it's pretty much a dead heat. Eight runs projected. And Philly has their -106 and Miami -104. So I mean, yeah, this is a pick 'em right now. Yeah. So. That's a sneaky game to stack, but hey, there's one game we got to talk about. Coors. Yep. So we're gonna talk about Coors here. Joe, I'm gonna talk about the Nats. You're gonna talk about the Rockies here, and we kind of have the same approach, which is like pick anyone that you can afford, you know. But the Nats, particularly, are getting Tyler Chatwood. Chatwood has been, I mean. He had one really, really good start against the Giants. Yeah. He is a massive ground ball pitcher, 60% ground ball rate, but he's got a Sierra of 4.16. He's got literally zero control, 17% K rate, above a 10% walk rate. And the only powerful team that he's faced this year is the Brewers, and the Brewers hit two home runs off of him, and he left in the fourth. You know, I think you can go right back to the Nationals lefties, who are terrifying for any right-handed pitcher. You know, it starts with Eaton. Trey Turner hit for the cycle last night. Good gracious.
Kid is 7 FanDuel points.
That kid is insane, man.
He's definitely got a bright future, that's for sure.
Unbelievable. You know, of course, Daniel Murphy in play. Bryce is there. Even Matt Wieters got going a little bit last night, and he'll probably be in the lineup again tonight, hopefully batting, you know, in that – I think he was in the 7 hole yesterday.
Yeah, he hovers around 6 or 7.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I don't mind Wieters. The numbers don't jump off the page, but, you know, he could get going. Harper and Murphy, to me, seem like the best targets. They're the two cheapest right now as far as studs go. You know, particularly Murphy at 4.2, that feels like he's underpriced. What do you think of that?
I mean, what was he yesterday? 4.5, 4.4?
I think he was 4.5, yeah.
I mean, for one of the best pure hitters in baseball in Coors, I have no idea why he's not approaching 5K, in all honesty.
I don't know. And Bryce's price went down, too. He went down to 5.2.
And both of them have been just going nuts this year. I don't understand it, but why not take advantage of it?
No, not at all. I have no problem with that. And the thing that I really, really like about Bryce is I've been hearing some stats about the way that Bryce is taking walks this year. His plate discipline is insane. And real quick, let me pull up his walk rate real quick right now. He is he's only striking out 19% of the time, and he's got a 17% walk rate.
Really?
17%.
Wow.
I mean, the dude is seeing pitches, he's hitting the ones that he wants, and he's staying away from the ones that he doesn't want against a pitcher who can't control himself like Tyler Chatwood. I mean, Bryce, I love that Harper Murphy pairing right there.
Yeah, I mean, that's a recipe for disaster for Tyler Chatwood. So yep. Bryce has looked out of his mind this year.
Yeah, the numbers on Bryce Harper are insane, and he's hitting lefties just as well as he's hitting righties. Don't forget that. All right, but let's talk about the Rockies here, Dave.
Yeah. So the Nationals are throwing Tanner Roark on the bump today. I feel like he would typically be your two or three on any other roster, but their pitching rotation is so deep. So he's behind Joe Ross at the four. Not a flashy pitcher, gets the job done. He's not, since he's not so flashy, and he doesn't give up a lot of hard contact, doesn't give up a ton of fly balls, but it's kind of hard to take, you got to take that with a grain of salt in Coors, because that completely changes everything, negates all splits. Look at Joe Ross yesterday. Joe Ross is, in my opinion, a better pitcher than Tanner Roark, given less experience, but he got lit up yesterday. So Tanner has a career 5.73 strikeout per nine inning number against lefties, which is pretty low, and also gives up 3.1 walks per nine innings with a 1.2 whip. So if there's any spot to attack him, it's going to be with left-handed bats. And I was looking at their lineup, the Rockies lineup as a whole when we were prepping for this pod, and every single one of their 1-5 hitters has a WOBA of at least 360 against right-handed pitching over the last two seasons, and their 1-3-5 all have over 200 ISOs, while Cargos is just a shade under at 198. So that's Charlie Blackmon, DJ LeMahieu, Nolan Arenado, Cargo, and Mark Reynolds that all absolutely destroy right-handed pitching in Coors. So I don't see any reason against stacking up on the top five. My personal favorite, as he's 4-7, I believe, today. Charlie Blackmon's been absolutely red hot. I mean, 9 hits in his last 5. He hasn't scored below 22.2 FanDuel points in that span, and he fresh off of a 34.9 FanDuel point performance, excuse me. So he's seeing the ball incredibly well. Cargo homered yesterday. He could finally be turning it around. They got Trevor Story batting 7th. So this is a very, very dangerous lineup that I have no problem rostering tonight.
Yeah. Listen to these numbers on Blackmon. In the last 5 home games, 4 home runs. And in the game when he didn't hit a home run, he hit a double and a triple. He hasn't had less than 2 RBIs. And in the last 2 games, he had 3 ribbies. I mean, that's Blackmon is you're absolutely Blackmon is on fire, and only 4-7. I mean, if you're going to pay for Bryce, you may as well try to play. You could pay for Blackmon and save $500
and get extremely similar production. I mean, he's still only batting .286 on the year too, so that kind of shows how cold he started. So he's definitely gaining some momentum right now.
Yeah, yeah, and Cargo. I mean, Cargo and Reynolds are just they're underpriced. I mean, that's 4K. For Carlos Gonzalez and Mark Reynolds, I mean, forget it. You could easily get, I think Arenado at 4.8 is a little pricey, especially when there's other good third base options on the slate. But I mean, not one of those guys is over 5K, and you know, LeMahieu, Cargo, and Reynolds are all right at 4K. That's insane.
Yeah, I mean, Reynolds was sub 4K yesterday, which he's on the dot at 4 today, but I don't understand that. I mean, he's a pure power hitter in Coors. I don't know why he's ever that low. He homered yesterday, too, so.
Yeah, he did. He did. He homered in the first game of the series as well.
He's hitting .324 this year?
Yeah.
Mark Reynolds is hitting .3. Jesus Christ.
I know. Mark Reynolds is really – I mean, Desmond gets back. They're going to have some decisions to make.
I'm David Dahl. I completely forgot about Ian Desmond, too. Wow.
I know. I was looking at Desmond in season long because I don't think he's owned right now.
Yeah, I would definitely scoop him up.
Anyway, all right. Other stacks we're talking about, other offenses we want to attack. I'm going to start with the O's, and we mentioned this. The O's are heavy favorites tonight at home in Camden. They're going up against Alex Cobb of the Rays. Cobb just has been meh all year. 4.1 Sierra, a whip of 1.6 almost, hard contact of 50% in 2017, which is a, you know, a bit of an outlier this year. But he's also giving up 53% hard contact to left-handed bats in 2017, Joe. 53%. Now, he is a ground ball pitcher. But I looked at his plate discipline numbers. He's only got a swinging strike rate of 9%. And when he is throwing the ball in the zone, hitters are making contact at a 93% rate, which is just terrifying if you're Alex Cobb. I mean, it's just crazy. So for me, I'm looking at anywhere 1-6, any of these Orioles. The Orioles are pretty cheap right now, too, which is nice. None of them really above 4K. You know, whoever's in the leadoff spot, whether it's Seth Smith or Trey Mancini, I like them quite a bit. Obviously, Crush Davis. You could throw in Mark Trumbo or Manny Machado. And then even, you know, Adam Jones and Shoup. You say Shoup, right? It's Shoup? Some people I feel like
I
say
it was Shope.
Shope? Okay.
I have no idea. Don't quote me on that.
Shoup is way more fun to say.
Yeah, I agree.
But, you know, Seth Smith in the leadoff spot, especially appealing at a 345 WOBA, 187 ISO, but he does take a 13% walk rate. Chris Davis, obviously, we know is a masher, 361 WOBA, 268 ISO. He does swing the bat hard, 39% K rate, but, you know, he may pick up a walk or two. They may pitch around him a little bit. Trumbo, 385 WOBA, 285 ISO. In Machado, similar numbers, 360 WOBA, 240 ISO. I mean, and then Jones and Shoup right there, 330 and 185. And depending, of course, where you see Wellington Castillo, you can always throw him in there as a cheap catcher option. I think the nice thing about the O's is you can kind of create a mini O's stack or a three-man stack wherever you want in your lineup.
Yeah, and pretty affordably too.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, you could absolutely create a little three-man O's stack with Syndergaard and then get some salary relief from a cheaper stack somewhere else on the slate. So, and that wouldn't be a bad lineup at all.
Yeah, no, I absolutely love an Orioles stack. One stack I do love more, and I know you'll like it, is the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Oh, yeah.
Their implied run totals 4.98, a shade under 5 right now, averaging 5.2 runs per game. So their offense is definitely clicking, and they are hot right now as well. Have a 348 team WOBA, 168 team ISO, and they get Trevor Cahill, who I don't know what this man has done in the offseason, but he has looked incredible this year, and it's very unusual. And because of this, I definitely see some regression coming his way. He currently has a 28.4% strikeout rate. I mean, that's up there with Thor. There's no way he's going to maintain this. He's got a 1.04 whip and a 14.8% swinging strike rate. But you compare that to his career rates, he has a career 16.9% strikeout rate, 1.35 whip, and an 8.3% swinging strike rate. Excuse me. I mean, I don't see any way in any circumstance that he continues this dominance that he shouldn't have ever been doing in the first place. He's still giving up hard contact 35% of the time as well, and he's in Chase Field tonight. I mean, I'm pretty sure he played for the Diamondbacks at one point, so maybe there's a little bit of a revenge narrative there, but I see him getting absolutely shelled tonight. I love both lefties and righties from Arizona. My favorite four targets are David Peralta, Chris Owings, Paul Goldschmidt, and Jake Lamb. All of them have been rather hot, especially Peralta and Owings. Peralta absolutely crushes right-handed pitching this season, 392 WOBA, 210 ISO, 39% hard contact. And he's been batting in the two-hole. So there's potentially five at-bats coming off a 30-plus FanDuel point game. And Chris Owings has also – when David Peralta is not batting in the two-hole, it's Chris Owings. And he's this season, as a righty, he's batting 360 a 360 WOBA, excuse me, against righties. With a 149 ISO, leaves a little bit to be desired, but he racks up extra base hits with doubles and triples as opposed to home runs. And he's got a 394 batting average on balls he puts in play, which is insane. So he's finding holes all over the field. Goldie's got some reverse splits, 380 WOBA, 216 ISO. And then Jake Lamb's got a 350 WOBA and 215 ISO against righties. So all of these players and the team in general mashes both right and left-handed pitching but does a lot of damage to righties. And if Trevor Cahill has any type of regression coming his way tonight, he's in for a long night.
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, we saw this series in Petco and we were like, okay, let's go Diamondbacks all in, and they disappointed, you know, and then they get the reverse back home and they've done anything but disappoint. They have been crushing the Padres, and I think that the, you know, the recency of seeing these pitchers has really helped them, and I totally agree. I see, sorry, my phone.
Yeah, don't worry.
I definitely see them getting to Cahill tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I see no reason why he doesn't get blown up. This offense is hot. And they're obviously compared to Coors, they're affordable. But, I mean, David Peralta's 3-3. So, I mean, even as a one-off, I would use him in a heartbeat. He's extremely affordable.
Well, and Owings is a shortstop option at 3-1 the way he's been playing. And, like, you know, for whatever reason, they project him lower in the lineup, but he's been in the top five of the lineup every single day. I mean, I guess maybe against righties, they knock him down and they put Peralta up, but I don't really see him batting below the six hole tonight, just with the way he's been playing.
Yeah, I don't either. And then obviously Chase Field just caters perfectly to all these players, so.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, God, I keep reading about how they're going to install this humidor, and it gets me so upset.
I did see that too, and I was not happy.
I know. Well, I don't know when they're going to do it. You know, they keep talking about it, but they haven't set a date. So who knows if they're actually thinking about it. All right, moving on to some cheaper options, some possible stacks that may go a little bit, you know, lower owned or give us some salary relief. I don't mind the Rangers. How are you feeling about the Rangers these days, Joe?
I don't mind them. I say that every night, but then they, like we talked about and touched on it a bit earlier, they're ice cold. I mean, I don't know what's going on with that lineup. Like you said, they might need Adrian Beltre back, but every time I play them this year, they've been pretty disappointing. But I mean, again, they are in a great spot tonight, so I don't see a reason not to.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they've got Hamels on the mound, so they've, you know, they're going to get their ace out there to kind of give them some support, you know. And yes, Minnesota's been playing well. And yes, Minnesota, you know, did do some work last night, but this is a great, you know, we obviously have great weather. Wind is blowing straight out at 16 miles per hour, 60 degrees tonight down there in Arlington, you know, and they're getting Hector Santiago. Now, Santiago has pitched really well this year, but very similar to Cahill, his career numbers indicate that there's going to be some regression here. He's got a 4.9 Sierra, a whip of 1.3. You know, in the last year, though, he's given up 38% hard contact with a 45% fly ball rate. Now, those numbers are down this year, but I just don't see him keeping that up on a warm night, you know, with the wind going out in Texas. I think he could get knocked around here. You know, and like we said, the Rangers are cold. So I'm going to limit my exposure, but I think you can take the top of the lineup here. Just take those plate appearances and hope for them to string together a rally. You know, Chu, 396 WOBA, 224 ISO with a 16% walk rate leading off. Possibly that's nice. Elvis Andrews is pretty cheap, 378 WOBA, 158 ISO. You know, he's not going to hit for power, but he can get on base. I think we will see Robinson Chirinos as a really cheap catcher option, which is always nice. Fern. Chirinos mashes.
Fern's going to love that.
I know. I love Chirinos. 425 WOBA, 371 ISO against lefties. And then he has an 11% home run rate. I mean, that's just ridiculous. He's a platoon guy, and he could get in there in that five spot, bat cleanup, try to give that offense a little boost. And I think if Joey Gallo gets he's just been buried in the lineup. But if Joey Gallo gets a little bit of love here, we could see him. He's a reverse splits guy. He hits lefties really well, 353 WOBA, 381 ISO, and hits for power. So, you know, I don't know. You know, I think a little bit, definitely Chirinos as a cheap one-off, maybe a little bit of, you know, and Carlos Gomez batting leadoff isn't bad at all either, by the way. I mean, his numbers aren't staggering, but you get a good, cheap leadoff batter there as part of your stack. That's not a bad decision. You know, I think you limit your exposure to the Rangers and you hope for the best. They should be able to get it going against Santiago. The numbers on paper are too good.
Yeah. I mean, I can definitely, like you said, you limit your exposure to some of these guys can be one-offs as well, but this seems like a get right spot in my opinion. So
let's hope so. All right. You're going to talk about the cards here. Talk to me.
Yeah. This one goes out to Bryce Breeden. Cardinals have been brutal this year. And I'm so sorry. Like, they are not good, but they showed some life yesterday. Wait, before I say anything, did you see Chris Coughlin's slide or dive?
No, I hadn't seen it at all.
Oh my God. He completely jumped over Yadier Molina, front flipped onto home plate. Like he was in Karate Kid or something. It was insane. Oh my God. Anyway, awesome. It was, Bryce was freaking out about it, but, they get arguably the easiest matchup on the slate today in Matt Latos. Last season was brutal. 1.4 home runs per nine, 13.6% K rate, 1.5 whip and a 5.40 Sierra. Can't get much worse than that. Wrong. Way worse this year. Way worse this year. 1.8 home runs per nine, 1.8 whip, 6.23 Sierra, and get this. A 4% K rate. Four.
Oh, my God.
Not 14, four. Like, he is not missing bats. I mean, people are seeing the ball. They are just crushing him.
Oh, Matt Latos.
Yeah, poor guy. I mean, I used to see him sitting courtside at Xavier basketball games, and I would get so pumped. Like, oh, my God, an MLB player is here. I don't even consider him that an MLB player anymore. Like, if I saw him now, I'd probably throw something at him if I were even thinking about rostering him. But I mean, as cold as the Cardinals have been, this is the definition of a get right spot, much to the similarity of the Rangers. Dexter Fowler, Aledmys Diaz, and Matt Carpenter all usually bat. That's usually their 1-2-3. They're all pretty affordable, and they're good hitters over their careers, as cold as they are right now. Roto Grinders has this an inside edge tool where it kind of gives you insight on batters. And via their inside edge, Dexter Fowler's slugging .471 over his last 381 plate appearances against what they consider middle-tier righties like Matt Latos over his last two seasons. I don't consider him a middle-tier righty, but take that with what you can. I mean, clearly seeing the ball well against similar pitchers. 2016, he had a .363 wOBA, 165 ISO, and he does have that stolen base upside, potential five at-bats. Aledmys Diaz, as a rookie, had a .393 wOBA and a .237 ISO. I mean, those numbers are ridiculous against right-handed pitching. I don't think he's faced one as bad as Matt Latos yet. Matt Carpenter then, .375 wOBA, .182 ISO, and gets a 13.3% walk rate. So he definitely shows a very high level of plate discipline, especially against righties. He's got the platoon advantage. So I think they're definitely not a cash stack. I can see a couple of them being one-offs in cash, but I absolutely love the Cardinals in tournaments today.
Yeah, I like that a lot. You know, the other guy who's hitting well for the Cardinals right now, and, you know, the numbers aren't really in his favor, but he's hitting well. And if you get a terrible pitcher like this, Jed Yurko, I mean, he's been in there. And, you know, I think he's creeping up in the lineup, and he's basically saying, like, I need to be the everyday third baseman, which, you know, there was some talk about whether or not he was going to be the everyday third baseman. It just, what's the point? Like,
yeah.
Yurko can hit, get him in there. He's been solid. I think this is a nice spot where, you know, at the minimum, you get a nice 1-2-3 and Fowler, Diaz, and Carpenter. You know, and maybe if Yurko creeps up into the five or the six, then you can add him in there. The problem we got to worry about here, Joe, is, you know, is rain. And this goes for Carmo as well. Massive, massive chance of rain in this one. If it goes, great. But we'll see. You know, 75% chance of rain at first pitch. So Not good.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily liking that right now. So unfortunately, I sucked because I was all over Carmo. But what can you do?
Yeah, I know. All right, now we've got some like, you know, some pairs, some high upside guys that we just, some spots that we don't want to ignore. We want to talk a little bit about here. Like I said, I think this Philly Miami game can be sneaky. I don't mind. I'm going to say this out loud, and I think I'm going to regret it. I don't mind D. Gordon and Christian Yelich as a pair from Miami. Obviously, it's GPP only. I think Yelich is much more appealing as just a one-off. You don't have to have D. Gordon, but a leadoff batter on the road is always nice. And then the two guys that I really have been paying attention to in Philadelphia are Aaron Althier and Michael Franco. You know, Althier has gotten himself up into the two spot in this lineup, and he had a 5-day hit streak coming out of the weekend. He was just crushing. And he's cheap outfielder. I think he's only 3K or 3-1. And hits lefties well. And then of course Franco in the four hole, equally cheap at 3K. We know he can hit lefties. There's some power upside with Michael Franco. So you know, I feel like this is a decent pair to attack. And like I said, you know, this game, it feels a little bit sneaky. Like it could go to the pitchers, but it could also just go to the bats and the bullpens could get out there early. The other guys I want to talk about, you know, I want to talk about the top of the Cubs order versus Glasnow. Now, Glasnow has kind of been hit or miss. Like, he's definitely got an arm, but he struggles mightily with control. He's got, you know, a massive walk rate this season. And so I think, you know, and Schwarber, they've already seen Glasnow once. The Cubbies saw him in Wrigley, and they got to him early. Rizzo hit a bomb off of him early in that first game of the season where Glasnow, well, not first game, but the first game where they played. So I think you could very easily get some Cubbies in your lineup. You know, obviously Schwarber and Rizzo is the two primary lefties. If you can afford Chris Bryant, sure. But Ben Zobrist also, I mean, he just doesn't strike out. And when you have a pitcher with control issues, you know, Zobrist is the definition of a great cash game play because he's going to take walks. He's going to get on base, you know, and he's right in the core of that order. And he's cheap. You know, Zobrist is always seemingly 2.7 or 2.6, and let's see what his price is tonight. It is, oh wow, he's up to 3.2. Come on, 3.2 for Zobrist.
It's probably because of that. There was a game, was it two games of the Cubs? All of them just absolutely went bonkers against Pittsburgh. Yeah, 3 RBIs. I mean, a player does that one game on FanDuel, and they're hiking his price up the next day. It sucks.
I know, it's bizarre. Anyway, but I don't mind the Cubby stack. It's always expensive, but they could get to Glasnow and just start taking some walks. You know, I mean, this is a team with play discipline, and if Glasnow gets stuck in his own head, he's not going to be able to locate against them.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I think that you have to pay attention to those guys. You know, now you've got Seattle on the mind, and I love Seattle. So talk to us about Seattle.
Yeah, I'm quickly developing a bit of fandom for Seattle this year. I don't know if it's because I drafted Mitch Haniger last round in my fantasy league, so I'm pretty pleased with that. He actually strained his oblique last night. He would have been a great target tonight, but I don't even know if he'll play. The righties look really, really, really nice for Seattle tonight. I'm primarily looking at Nelson Cruz against a lefty. That's a DFS lock. Everyone knows that. Taylor Motter's been playing out of his mind so far this year, like you said earlier. And Mitch Haniger's replacement yesterday was Danny Valencia. I don't know if he'll fill in today, but he also crushes lefties over his career. And Daniel Norris isn't that good. I mean, he's pitched fine this year. Had a bit of a rough outing against Tampa Bay last game, only lasted 4.2 innings. And this, in my opinion, this Seattle lineup is far more dangerous than Tampa Bay. Even, I mean, as cold as Robbie Cano's been, like we said, and a lefty-lefty matchup, I can see him having some success as long as his teammates get on base for him, and I don't see that being a problem. So yeah. I absolutely love Seattle tonight. Another mini stack I'm looking at for strictly tournaments is Mets lefties. Whenever Julio Teheran is on the mound, I am always looking at who the lefties are in the lineup. I know last week we talked a lot about Bryce Harper against Julio, and my God, that man owns him. They did a whole MLB Network bit on it and talked about how Teheran is just brutal against lefties. And the Mets have some capable lefties in their lineup. Curtis Granderson hasn't been seeing the ball that well this year, but leads off a lot. Five at-bats. Michael Conforto's in there. Jay Bruce has the power upside. Neil Walker. There's a lot of lefties in that lineup, and I can definitely see them causing some problems tonight. Tournaments only for me, though.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to throw one more at you. And I think that if you're bullish on Paxton, then maybe this isn't the spot for you. But if you're like kind of like, I don't know about Paxton, and you want to try to ride the wave with Detroit, I don't mind it. I don't mind it. Ooh. I think, you know, they're just too hot. They're just too hot. I think a Kinsler, you know, you can very easily go to Kinsler and Castellanos. And, of course, our man James McCann. We know James McCann, like Robinson Chirinos and Nelson Cruz, the splits are there. They are mashers of lefties.
Yeah, he's cheap, too.
Yeah, he is. He is. He's always cheap. And, you know, I mean, the man just – he'll probably hit a home run at some point tonight if he's in that lineup catching. So – you know, I think that that's a good spot as well to go to Detroit. I don't think you can be scared off of them. All right, a couple lone wolves. You just mentioned my man Nelson Cruz. Obviously, you know, it's almost an auto play against a lefty. And Daniel Norris gives up hard contact. He gives up flyable balls, both above 35%. you know, the Seattle stack is definitely in play. And if you can't get to the Seattle stack, by the way, you forgot Gene Segura at the top of the lineup for Seattle. He bounced back hard last night and always stolen base upside with Segura. But Nelson Cruz, we know, just absolutely mashes lefties. So I think if you can't afford the whole stack, then at the minimum, get yourself some Cruz, who bats 439 WOBA with a 353 ISO against left-handed pitchers. So, you know, no problem with that.
Yeah, I like it. You mentioned Detroit, and that kind of got me on an extra one-off. Alex Avila has been scorching hot the last couple of games. Homers back-to-back games. I mean, it's not a guarantee he's in the lineup, but personally, I love punting catcher. I never like to pay up at the position just because it's so volatile. So he's same price as James McCann, and Robinson Chirinos is around that. Whoever gets thrown in the lineup, I would love to put in my lineup. A couple other one-offs I like. I always loved Mike Trout against the lefty. Sean Manaea has been better this year, but it's the best player in baseball we're talking about.
Yep.
And my man Giancarlo Stanton. Whenever he has a player that throws gas on the mound, I love targeting him just because he hits the ball so hard. Vinny Velasquez is giving up a 33% hard contact rate and a 28.6% home run to fly ball ratio this season, which is extremely high. And that caters to Giancarlo's strengths. And, I mean, that man is strong.
Yeah.
So definitely a viable one-off in all formats, in my opinion.
I was listening to Buster Olney the other day, and he said that he thinks the Miami outfield, if they can keep this up with Yelich, Stanton, and Ozuna, if those three guys can continue to mash, it's probably the most dangerous outfield in baseball. And those guys have been hitting. They really have.
Yeah.
So I don't mind it at all. I don't mind it at all. All right. You know, not bad, man. I mean, I think we've got a lot of good options. Let's slide over to FanDuel here. Let's see if we can put them all together and maybe build a lineup. Maybe we'll build one with Thor, and then we'll pivot off and we'll build one with one of our other 9K pitchers here.
I like it. I like it.
So, I mean, I think if we're starting with Thor, we've got to start with some salary relief. And do you want to try to – you want to go with that that St. Louis stack to try and
Yeah, I mean, that's – let me go back. That's the cheap – I'd say St. Louis or Texas really isn't expensive either. So either one of those stacks seems pretty viable with a Thor line to me.
Okay. All right. Well, let's Let's try it with St. Louis here first, even though we know there's weather concerns, and we'll see how we can pivot off of that. So it's Carpenter, Diaz, and Fowler, right?
Yep.
All right, so that's going to put us, you know, Carpenter, Diaz, and Fowler, it's $2,800 per bat now. We've got our first baseman, our second baseman, our third baseman. So we're definitely going to need some salary relief. I think at catcher, I just can't avoid Robinson Chirinos at 2-6. I think he's going to be in the lineup.
I love it.
Let's get Chirinos in there.
Okay, I like it. I mean, he's holy shit, he's going nuts.
I know, he's bananas. He's absolutely an animal. We need some cheap outfielders, though, Joe. Where are you looking?
I'm about to look down sub 3K range. I feel like there's always a rather low-key leadoff hitter that's usually pretty cheap. Let's see what we got down. Curtis Granderson's 2.5 right now. But cash, that kind of does scare me a little bit.
Yeah, he is not very much.
Tyler Collins might play against a lefty. He usually hits in the two hole. See, there are not a lot of cheap options that are very appealing right now. It's so hard to tell before lineups come out as well.
I know. I think Seth Smith is viable.
I see him. Yeah, Seth Smith for $2,800. I do like that.
Yeah, I think that's nice. That's going to give us a little bit of salary relief. And then I'm looking at, I wonder how much Shope is expensive.
I feel like Machado is pretty underpriced right now.
Where's he at?
3.5.
Yeah, that is a pretty good price. I don't know if we can afford him right now.
I know. I mean, he's been brutal this year.
I know. I'm looking at I was just looking at Carlos Gomez as part of the top of that Texas lineup. 3-3. Although Chu is 3-3 as well. We only have one more outfield spot if we get him in there. Any interest in the Padres?
I think the Padres are in a great spot. They will not garner high ownership either.
No, I mean, and you have,
and they're never expensive.
Ryan Schimpf at 2,600, he hits, and we're getting like a spot start from a guy who's a AAA ball player. I think you could get a little bitty, stack of Padres in here for salary relief. So maybe if we go with Schimpf and then, who do you like in the outfield, Margot?
I'm looking at Margot or Renfro. Renfro's been picking it up a bit lately. But, yeah, Renfro's on a five-game hitting streak right now. Margot, is he still leading off?
He was, and then he wasn't doing anything. So they dropped him down there.
Oh. Well, now he's been seeing the ball really well. 3 multi-hit games in his last 5, five-game hitting streak. So both are extremely viable. Yeah, and they're both right. The same price, so you can – I mean, I guess you can just put one in, and then depending where they bat, you can change them out.
All right, so let's go with Margot and Schimpf, and that's going to give us a $3,300 third baseman here as a one-off, which got Miguel Sano, Solarte, Franco. 3K.
I mean, you could even – you okay. could – If we go Franco, I think if you wanted, you could upgrade Seth Smith to your boy, Aaron Altherr, yeah.
That's interesting. Let me see this here. Let's see, how much is Altherr today? Is he
3,100.
He's 3,100. Yeah, that's not bad. I mean, we've got some interesting correlations here. It's not the sexiest lineup, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
With Thor, but you have some guys who are in decent spots, and you've got a pretty cheap leadoff stack with St. Louis. All right, so let's that actually works right now. So I'll run through this, and then we'll try a build with one of our cheaper pitchers, see if we can get some better bats in here. It's Thor followed by Chirinos, Matt Carpenter, Ryan Schimpf, Michael Franco, Almeidas Diaz, Dexter Fowler, Manuel Margot, and Aaron Althier. You know, you've got a pair of Philly bats that are at the top of the order. You've got the top of the San Diego order in Schimpf and Margot, and then you've got the top of the St. Louis order. You're going to get a minimum and possible power in Chirinos. You're going to get a minimum of number of plate appearances, or excuse me, a good number of plate appearances here. You know, you need the salary relief to fit in Thor. I think there's upside here. This is a cash viable lineup. You know, none of these bad guys are in bad spots.
Yeah, I agree. Obviously, like you said earlier, we just have to watch the weather in St. Louis.
Yeah. All right. Let's build one without Thor here though. And let's look at let's say the St. Louis game doesn't go. Do you want to go with Cueto or do you want to go with your boy James Paxton?
Of those two, I prefer Cueto.
All right, let's go Cueto. And then if we're getting off the St. Louis stack because of weather, then that's going
to
give us.
I'm still all over Chirinos at catcher. I can't fade that man right now.
No, you don't have to fade that man right now. No one's asking you to do that. Now the question is do we want to attack Coors or do we want to attack Seattle? Do we want to attack the Rangers? Do we want to attack the O's? What are you thinking?
I think we definitely need some Coors exposure because we didn't have any in the Thor line. So it'd be nice to have a little bit. I like Baltimore and Coors. Those are the ones that are sticking out to me right now.
All right. Well, let's get a couple of these. Let's get some of these cheap Coors bats.
Ooh, Danny Valencia, Seattle. If he hits in the two hole for Mitch Haniger, he's only 2,400 at third base today.
You might see Vogelbach in the lineup as well.
Good call.
We could see some. We could definitely see a nice little Seattle stack show itself. But let's look at Mark Reynolds. He's cheap. We talked about Cargo being underpriced as well.
Yep.
That's
the 4-5 combo right there.
It's a 4-5 combo in cores. That's really nice. And then that gives us about $3K per bat. And if we're looking at, you know, do we want to go? We could either go with the O's. You go with Texas.
Let's see. I assume we're locking in Chirinos.
Yeah, I think Chirinos is locked there. It's just a good price.
Where does he usually bat in the lineup? Is he like 6-7 range?
He usually actually is in these matchups. He's usually 5 or 6. So.
Oh, great. Okay.
Yeah.
So let's see. I'm looking at Texas outfield. Mazara is not good against lefties, is he?
Who's that?
Nomar Mazara.
No, and Mazara is ice cold right now. I'm a wait and see on Mazara. Gosh, all of these Seattle bats are listed as first baseman. Vogelbach and Danny Valencia are both first baseman eligible, which is frustrating.
Yeah, we have Mark Reynolds. How much is Taylor Mott? Or what about Nelson Cruz? How much is Nelson Cruz?
4-1.
Oh.
Not cheap.
Not ideal.
So
we could also look at some Diamondbacks, too. They're not the most expensive.
That's true. Yeah. Oh, there you go. Let's look at those Diamondbacks.
Chris Owings, 3-1. Who else is cheap? Peralta's 3-3.
That's good. All right. So Owings, Peralta. How much is Jake Lamb? 3-8. Yeah. Not great, but Owings and Peralta are both in a really good spot here. I like them a lot. So maybe we can now do a little bit of maybe we could do a little Baltimore stack here. Crush Davis, 3-3. That's just too cheap. You get Seth Smith as a leadoff bat. 2-8, you know?
Yeah.
You mentioned Machado being underpriced at 3-5. But at the same time, Shope is 3-4. I don't know where he's going to be in the lineup.
He's usually, unfortunately, he's usually like 7 or 8. I don't know if I'm willing to pay that much for that batting order.
Yeah.
Or position, I should say.
I hear that. I hear that a lot. Th- 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 All right. What do you think here, Joe? I got a second baseman and a third baseman.
So we've got what, 2,800 apiece?
Yeah. Well, you have more if you put Chris Davis in at first base over Reynolds.
Yeah, I'm actually. Let me see what we get with that. So with that, we get 3,150. I mean, the thing is, like, I don't mind having a one-off in Coors because, they scored 27 runs last night, but there's still a huge chance that they could absolutely dud tonight.
Yeah, yeah, Coors one-off is not bad. And honestly, you're going to have to take a much more salary relief to get a full Coors stack. Like, you can't start a 9K pitcher. You're going to have to dip into the sevens.
Yeah, exactly. Brandon Drury's been hot for Arizona. He's 2-6.
That's true.
And that gives us who else?
Oh man! Oh, so close to getting a full Diamondback stack.
That's what I was just looking at.
So close. Well, wait. Let's see this. Let's see if we can get a cheaper catcher in Chirinos. There's got to be somebody at 2-5. That we like. James McCann
is 2-4.
Boom. There it is. All right, so Diamondback stack with a pair of Baltimore bats and James McCann. I mean, you've got Johnny Cueto, James McCann, Chris Davis, Brandon Drury, Jake Lamb, Chris Owings, and David Peralta. Hopefully, if Drury gets up in the lineup, the problem is Drury sometimes gets buried.
Yeah, yeah.
And Seth Smith is a salary relief outfielder for Baltimore. So you get the one-off from Coors. You get the Diamondback stack plus a little Baltimore kicker there with James McCann as your catcher.
Yeah, I like it. And I love Cueto, too. I like it.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, there's a lot of options out here, man. There's a lot of ways that you can go tonight. Joe, can anyone can we expect any content over there on Fan Forecast today to break down this slate?
Yeah, Ben should be writing writing an article about cold batters today, like top fades. I'll be writing a stack article. We should have Jacob Wright. You guys know him as DFS Clutch Boy. He's going to be writing pitching articles, so he'll probably have one today. So we're going to be cranking a lot out.
Good stuff. Head over to Fan Forecast, guys, if you want to get some DFS reading in today, of course. Those guys we're playing every single day. They're paying close attention to what's going on in MLB. You know, it's absolutely worth, keeping in your pulse on things through that outlet, which is always free. Fan Forecast on Twitter. Joe, where can they find you on Twitter?
Personal Twitter handle is at jmets34. I'm more than happy to take questions, whatever you need, on either both that or the Fan Forecast account, whichever floats your boat. So I'll be there on both.
Very good. Very good. And, Joe, appreciate you coming on, brother. I'm interested to see. I mean, I'm going to have to probably sit down and fool around with some of these lineups, guys. You know, as we said, these are always starting points, ideas for where you're going to build today. Yeah. And use the ideas, get it started, mix and match. You know, baseball is a high variance game, so you want to get as much exposure as you can to, you know, different pieces and parts, and, you know, mix and match your stacks at times. It's great for GPPs, especially when you have a massive, you know, 12 game slate like this. You're going to want to, you know, pick all of your different pieces wisely. So, Joe, good luck tonight, and thanks for coming on, my man.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me. I'll be back next week. Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. Good luck, guys, and we will see you tomorrow.